Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com, or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News, we hear from three more councillor candidates for the town of Smithers. Laura Leonard, Genevieve Patterson, and Sam Raven are all vying for one of the six positions on Smithers Council come October 15th. All have been involved directly or indirectly with local politics over the years, and we talk about why they're in the running now, what issues they will tackle if elected, and what they're hearing from voters along the campaign trail. Stay with us.
So my name is Genevieve Patterson, and I want to recognize that I'm calling from the unceded traditional territory of the Wet'suwet'en people. I practice gratitude each day for the blessing I have to live, work, and play here in this beautiful area.
Okay, great. Genevieve, thanks so much for being with us today. You know, the question to you that I'm fielding to everyone, all the candidates right off the bat is, you know, with that, some of that in mind, obviously the town deals with a lot of other things as well. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your platform and some of the things, some of the issues that you're trying to focus in on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So I would just say supportive housing is sort of the first and foremost priority that I see within our community. It's not just specific to sort of some of the encampments that we see, but it's really about making sure that we're there to support all of our community members in need who struggle with mental health and addiction. From having the pleasure of being able to work with folks across not only our community, the North area and the province, I really think for me, and having attended local council meetings recently, there's this opportunity to conduct a cost-benefit analysis and to develop a local long-term solution versus sort of these band-aid approaches that I see across not only our community, the North, and the province. So specific to Smithers, for example, we've seen an increase in community policing and bylaw enforcement and a tax increase as a result. Again, that is a band-aid solution to be able to resolve the long-term issue that's needed around supportive housing. And the difference between supportive housing, I just want to be really clear, is about providing the necessary supports around mental health and addiction that we all suffer with. And I think it's more prevalent not only within our community in the last year or so, but across the North area. I travel quite a bit across the North, and it's absolutely not unique to our community, but it is so important for the health and wellness of our community. I think the best approach that we can actually be able to deliver on that commitment and save taxpayers' dollars is by working together. So I love that you talked about sort of the starting point of the relationship between the town and the Office of the Wet'suwet'en. There's so much more work that needs to be done with our Indigenous partners and our community, as well as engagement with the federal and provincial governments. There's a incredible amount of work being done for non-for-profits within our community. And the private sector to develop more supportive housing just to meet our current demand. Some examples, I think we need to capitalize on the Homelessness Community Action Grant that's being proposed by the provincial government. You know, they promised $291 million to build these modular supportive housing across BC that's supposed to include 24/7 staffing and support services. And I know the town has done just an exceptional amount of work to support our community in building affordable housing. So I really just want to work with my fellow, you know, councillors and mayor and our community just to keep that momentum going. There's also this new memorandum of understanding between local government around this financial resiliency. And I really want to understand how we can, you know, just get a little bit more clarity on that, because it talks about community wellness being one of their top priorities. When I read it, it's still not super clear to me on how we can do that. So I'm hoping we can work together just to get them to be really clear in how they can help to develop more supportive housing for us, including access to Crown land, and just to make more contributions. So, for example, I understand the local health authority and hospital gave up a significant amount of their necessary land to help to support those in need. I want to see the provincial government match that contribution.
Okay. I guess, you know, just staying on that thread, obviously the town was instrumental in seeing through a supportive housing project, Good Acre Place, not that long ago, just a couple of years ago. However, you know, in speaking with some of the folks that have created those encampments, as well as the, for lack of a better term, the tent community that is in front of town hall there, a lot of them, you know, don't want to go into that supportive housing specifically. There have been some overdose deaths, you know, within that facility. I guess, how would you try to kind of bridge that gap and find solution for, you know, some folks that may be apprehensive or have concerns about moving into a place such as Good Acre Place?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I will just say I've grown up with a lot of friends and family who struggle with mental health and addiction. So I can appreciate that, you know, we can't help those who necessarily aren't ready to take that leap to help themselves. And I think, you know, the provincial and federal government, again, promised to provide additional support around emergency shelters and sort of alternatives to supportive housing. So I would just say, you know, we need to make sure that we have those options available to our community. And I know that a lot of our local health authorities and others are just spread so thin right now and trying to help to support everybody in need, especially the trauma that everybody's faced over the duration of the pandemic. And just this lack of conversation within our community and what, you know, that sort of exacerbated through the pandemic and the opioid crisis that we still see. And again, I really feel like, you know, my experience, and I have 15 years working with government, including Indigenous, provincial and federal and local government, to make sure that we resolve these critical issues. And I'm just going to continue to do that in my role as counselor.
Another thing, Genevieve, I wanted to touch upon is obviously we see a very different field of candidates this time round. We only have two incumbent councillors back in the race. So there, you know, any way you cut it, there's definitely going to be a number of new faces on council. And also, you know, speaking with other candidates, asking them about the reasons why they chose to run this time round, you know, vary on a number of different topics and issues. But I'll pitch it to you as well. You know, why did you choose to run at this point in time?
It's a really great question. You know, I'm going to be honest, I was a bit apprehensive this time around because I truly feel that public and community service, you know, it's such a thankless, selfless job, and it takes a lot of time to make sure that you're showing up for your community and doing it justice. This time around just felt appropriate given, you know, through the grapevine, I understood that potentially we weren't even going to have an election. And to me, that's a problem. So, you know, ever since I was a young girl, I always wanted to help those in my community and knew that public service was my calling. And so for me, it was just perfect timing, right time, right place. And I really actually had just an incredible amount of people in the community rally around me and just say, we're here to help to support you. And for me, that was just one of the most beautiful signs that I think I could have asked for. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, I always sort of see all the chaos and turmoil that's around us, but I don't actually see a lot of people who feel like they have this community who's going to rally around to support them because we think, oh, it's too much. You know, as an individual, we can't take it all on. But it's just absolutely my pleasure to be able to work with those community members who've already just done so much work for our community and continue to do so, and just help to support them and really just step up to the call.
You know, I know in speaking with other candidates as well that there's, you know, quite a few criticisms of, you know, how things could have been done differently over the past number of years, how money could be spent differently. We have a pretty tight revenue stream with just, you know, municipal taxes, residential and, you know, commercial taxes coming into the community. How would you approach, you know, some of those issues and making sure that, you know, what we're actually doing with our money is benefiting everybody in the community?
It's a great question. I'm such a big fan of performance management and cost benefit analysis. And I've had the pleasure of being able to attend a series of budget meetings that the town has put on. And I really encourage people to be super informed about the work that's happening there and all the information. They put out incredible amounts of thought into those summaries. And it sort of speaks to themselves as far as the opportunities, at least in my mind, that I saw. So for example, just to link back to the policing, and I'll talk about one more sort of key opportunity that I'm interested in is, I didn't even realize that, you know, the town offsets the sort of burden of 60% of funding to our local policing housing, less than 50% of the population service area. So for me, I think that's absolutely something that I want to look into. Again, when I talk about working with the provincial and federal government to help offset those expenditures so that we can focus on, upgrading some of our critical services like our water, drainage treatment, and effluent discharges. I think, that's huge. This stuff, we've been doing Band-Aid solutions over and over and over again. I think the town is doing the best that they can with the resources that they have. But I think that's just absolutely one area where I would like to see the federal and provincial government step up so that we can basically just upgrade our critical infrastructure because the time is now. Another opportunity that I see is around our waste management. I was actually the only volunteer from the community of Smithers that traveled to Burns Lake just as a volunteer to develop our North Area Waste Management Plan. So I sat on that committee and we voted on tipping fees, which is to incentivize people to do more within their homes. So for example, we might be able to save money on transportation costs if we all do something as simple as compost our organic waste. We have about 35% above the provincial average right now that we see in organic waste. So right there, I think there's an opportunity for significant cost savings because we're spending about $1 million per fiscal right now there. So I think, again, incredible opportunity to do cost benefit analysis and be able to show the community. I think, we need to engage with folks just to give them options to help inform some of our decisions. And again, we can utilize those funds, for example, from the tipping fees to support updates to our critical infrastructure that I mentioned.
Genevieve, we just have a couple more minutes here, but of course, this whole exercise is basically one big job application and pitching, your credentials and your ideas and to the community and to voters. So, just like all the other candidates, what makes you the best person for this position?
Well, I'm absolutely the best person for this position because I have such extensive experience working in this realm of politics. So worked with Indigenous, provincial and federal governments over the last 15 years of my career, including with other municipalities, industry, stakeholders and the public at some of the most senior levels. I'm a strategic thinker. I'm people focused and discipline driven, and I really don't shy away from conflict and I value difference of opinion. I've seen a lot of sort of fractured relationships within our community, but I truly believe that conflict can lead to healthy resolutions. I've done a ton of assessment negotiations to help to balance, what we see local governments are responsible for, and that's sort of the social, traditional, cultural, and economic and environmental objectives. So I think just having that extensive experience and the passion that I bring is going to make me the right fit for the job.
Okay. Genevieve, we'll leave it there for now. But again, we thank you for your time today. And of course, good luck on the campaign trail.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Up next, we hear from councillor candidate Laura Leonard.
My name is Laura Leonard. I grew up in Smithers. I wasn't born there, born in Prince George. Grew up in Smithers. And after a brief hiatus, attending post-secondary school in Vancouver, I moved back in 1997 and have been back in Smithers ever since. It's 25 years helping and now running our family business there, All With Glass.
Great, Laura. Thanks so much for being with us and making the time to chat with us. Obviously, as you mentioned, this is your first time running for Smithers Council, but you've been around for a while, so I'm sure you've seen many councils come and go. Maybe, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run this time.
I've always had an interest in municipal politics. At an early age, at an adolescent, my mother was a school district trustee and then an alderman and became the first female mayor of Smithers. And that was all through late 80s and 90s. And so we've always been I've always been exposed to it. And, our family has sort of a deep sense of giving back to communities that support us and our business, and I have always done that. Through different associations I've belonged to in the community, helped out a lot with the Rotary Club. I was served on the BV Community Foundation for 6 or 8 years. I can't even remember how long that was. And then also on BB Health Foundation for a number of years. So I've always sort of felt the need to do something in the community, and I've dabbled in running before at previous elections. You know, I've had a lot of people approach me and see if I would run. And so anyway, I finally, I'm coming off another board that I serve on, and it's a provincial business board. And my tenure's up in November for that. And my children are both grown and out of the house and don't need as much attention anymore. So just felt like the time was right to get more involved and see if I could add some value and some balance to you know, how funds are being appropriated at the municipal level, and you know, in the fairest way possible on behalf of all the taxpayers in the region.
Yeah, sounds good, Laura. I'm on the other end of that the child thing. We have a real small one,
oh,
so
yeah.
Maybe eventually when they're out of the house, I'll do the same and have a little bit more time when they don't need 24/7 attention.
Yeah.
You know, that is so clearly you have it in the blood. Your mom being the first female mayor in Smithers, going back some time. I'm assuming you grew up around, you know, the kitchen table talking about politics, this and that. In the last number of years, obviously, we've seen, you know, a lot of things change in Smithers, some for the good, others maybe, you know, a little bit controversial, or, you know, I know a lot of people have some criticisms of certain things that have been done over the last number of years. What are some of the things that stand out to you that you know, kind of caught your eye wanting to jump back in and bring some of that balance? Maybe you could just explain a little bit more of that.
Sure. I think I know I didn't mention that I am a designated accountant by trade. My skill and my asset is numbers and analyzing financial statements and appropriating funds where you know, they serve the best value. I do that every day in my business. And you know, over the, I would say the last probably 6 years, maybe, I have noticed that we're using up a lot of our reserve funds in the municipality. And it concerns me a bit. And, you know, I'm not going to begin to say I know everything about how the town is run, because I don't, but I feel like that is where my strength is, and maybe once I sort of get into the swing of how municipalities run, I can add value by just spending in a more balanced and sensible way for the priorities of the town.
I guess, you know, staying on that thread, obviously you've been speaking to some people already. We're a couple of weeks into the campaign here. What are you hearing from constituents, and also what are you talking to them about? What's some of the items that you're running on in your platform?
Well, I would say basically what I just reiterated. You know, I'm really trying to stick to my strengths, which is a financial background, and that I can bring that business acumen and experience to town council and be a voice for maybe a more balanced discussion on you know, if we're spending money in a certain area, let's look at a different approach to that, and why are we spending this, you know, amount of money. I don't want to be specific because I don't really want to get into it without knowing fully how things work.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's definitely a bit of a learning curve for, you know, many of the potential new councillors. Obviously, we only have two incumbents coming back. But I guess, you know, you mentioned, and I hear this from others as well, you know, just the idea of what are the priorities for the town. You know, obviously, you know, there's some infrastructure, major infrastructure needs. All the communities in the north are aging. They have aging infrastructure. So that's a big piece. But what are some of the other priorities that you hope to dig into if you are successful on October 15th?
It's really just about setting what you just said. It's let's find out what the priority is. You know, from my perspective, municipalities are really responsible for, you know, storm sewers and drainage systems and you know, pavement and concrete, and I think in recent years we're kind of digressing and getting into certain priorities that are taking us away from really the necessary needs of the town, and so I just would prefer to sort of try and get us back on focusing on the infrastructure, making sure that we're making the right decisions financially to allocate funds, to making sure, you know, if we are end of life in certain sections or with certain systems, that we're paying attention to that instead of something that might be the flavor of the day per se.
I know, in speaking with some other candidates as well, they've brought up this issue of taxes and revenue. You know, obviously municipalities, you know, rely on, you know, property taxes, business taxes, and that's pretty much about it. We do have, you know, the airport as a big asset that a lot of money was put into over the last couple of years with, you know, the COVID funding and whatnot to keep that going as the asset that it is. But I guess the other thing I'm curious about is we've been hearing more and more about this RBA, the regional resource alliance, regional benefit alliance, looking to tap into more of the funds that are coming out of this region from, you know, major industrial projects to help with some of what you mentioned, you know, making sure that the storm drainage and sewers are dealt with, that infrastructure is built up, knowing that we have a lot more cars and trucks on the roads. You know, maybe give me some thoughts about that. Is that something that you've looked into, or what do you think about, you know, that approach, trying to, you know, work with provincial government to see about getting more of a revenue stream coming into these local communities?
I think for me, and I can honestly say I haven't done a whole lot of research. I'm aware of the RBA and sort of what its purpose is. However, I don't know the details specifically, but it actually is a concern for me, and it's not specifically just this alliance. You know, the provincial government is incenting municipalities to go in directions that I believe they don't necessarily need to go in. You know, again, our main function is to operate the services of the town for the taxpayer. And I really sort of feel like responsibility for many topics outside of that sort of core mission are being downloaded on municipalities by the provincial government. So I just, you know, it is a focus. It is something that I will be looking into, and because I think there's a lot of incentive programs out there to take advantage of by the municipality. But if you go in a certain direction, the municipality then always has to maintain that. So, you know, there's a cost, a future cost to taking advantage of certain grants. And I think that we just maybe have to be a little bit more prudent and thoughtful in our commitments in those directions.
What are some of the things that you've noticed in the last few years that you probably would have taken a different approach on?
I guess I'll go on record as saying, you know, I don't know that I would necessarily, if I'd been a counselor a few years ago, that I would necessarily have declared Smithers as being in a climate change emergency. So that's one thing. And I think there was a bit of incentive there to do that and some funds that were associated with that. And I'm not sure that that I would have supported that initiative that we're going to be paying for now for many years to come, regardless of my feelings on climate change. I mean, it is happening. We all know that. But I just think that that decision is probably one that was sort of a compelling reason for sure to maybe just really dig into what is exactly happening and how do these funding models work and what is the actual incentive for municipalities to go in these certain directions. So I have a lot of learning to do. I'm just keeping, you know, my natural curiosity is gotten the better of me, and I just would like to be more informed on some of the decisions we've been making lately, for sure. So I think, you know, as a counselor, I'll be able to do that because I'll be one of the decision makers. So, yeah.
Laurie, we just have a couple minutes left here, but obviously, you know, I've been mentioning this to every candidate as well. Going through a campaign and basically lobbying the voters of the community is, you know, a bit of a job application. So, you know, on that note, what makes you the best person for this job?
I really think it's my skill and my trade as a chartered professional accountant and my experience as a business person in the community. I mean, you know, we run a retail business and have done it for 50 years in this community and I'm very aware of what's happened over those 50 years in terms of tax and value for that tax money. I think with my experience, I can bring a more balanced approach to funding the priorities of the town.
All right, Laura, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for your time, and of course, good luck on the campaign trail. I'm sure we'll speak again in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Last but not least, we hear from councillor candidate Sam Raven.
My name is Sam Raven. My pronouns are she and her. And I reside on the beautiful territory of the Gitindam clan of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. I was born and raised in the beautiful Bulkley Valley in Telkwa. So my parents are Steve and Susan Shefnarwich. I moved to the Kootenays when I was 18, where I met my husband, and then we came back to Smithers, where we are currently raising our three very active children. We moved back here because we love being surrounded by nature, and it really suits our lifestyle. We do hiking, we do fishing, we love doing backcountry adventures together. I worked in Smithers as a community support worker for 8 years, supporting adults with disabilities. And the last about year and a half, I have been working as a constituency assistant to the MLA.
Great, Sam. Thanks so much for being with us today and giving us your time. Obviously, sounds like you're a bit of a hometown girl. And with that, you know, obviously, you probably know quite a number of people in the community, but it looks like you're new to municipal politics. I know that you ran once before, but maybe tell me how things are going this time around.
Sure. So, yes, I did run in the by-election a couple years ago when the council seat opened up. And that was a wonderful experience. Of course, very different compared to this time around, because at that time there was restrictions and all of that in place. But this time around, I'm feeling really positive. I've been getting out in the community, attending events. So like recently, there was a Terry Fox run. There's the farmers market on Saturdays that I've been attending. And it's been so great to connect and actually be able to talk to people. I've even been doing some door knocking, and that has been a super, super positive experience. So I'm happy to be out and about, that's for sure.
Maybe Sam, you can tell us a little bit about, you know, what you're hearing from constituents. Obviously, there's a number of, you know, serious issues in the community around infrastructure, also around, you know, some of the social issues that we're facing. Maybe tell me a little bit about what you're hearing from people at the doorstep.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest concerns that I've been hearing is about affordability of housing as well as housing supply. So I don't think people quite realize how much that impacts our whole community. So I was talking to a nurse in Northern Health, and she actually had two of her friends that were ready, willing, and able to move to Smithers. They're nurses, and they were willing to take two full-time spots in our hospital. And the only reason they weren't able to come is because they couldn't find a place to live. I keep hearing that again and again, is where you talk to business owners and they go, hey, we need journeymen. Hey, we need these skilled laborers. And there's no place for them to go. And these are needs in our community that are far reaching. So legal aid, we even there's a physician that was willing to move to Smithers and couldn't find a place. So affordability and housing supply is huge. And that would be the first issue I'd like to tackle. Then we definitely have the homelessness and addictions. So I believe that the town can not necessarily take on fixing all the problems, but we can look to throughout the north to find the solutions. So for addictions, we do not have a drug rehab in the north. And I do know that there's some projects that are, you know, getting off the ground in Paris or even Prince George. And I would like to see the town of Smithers support that, because we would gain the benefits of having a place where we can help and support people through addictions and find their journey to sobriety.
You know, I know that there's been some talk in Terrace around, you know, having a safe injection site. Obviously, their issues are a little bit different than here in Smithers. But is that something that you would support? And also, how would you go by actually, you know, from a council point of view, making sure, or, you know, proceeding with some of these ideas that you talked about? You know, a rehab facility is obviously something that is health related. I'm sure that the health authority would be, you know, kind of interested in taking part or leading that. But, you know, we've had these issues for some time now, and we haven't been able to get on top of it. We still see homelessness. We still see addiction issues growing, especially in the last couple of years. So what do you see as the process to actually achieving that?
So strong advocating, but also knowing what you're asking for. So when you're going to these different levels of government and talking to ministers and ministries, and if you just go up and say, like, oh, hey, we have a housing problem, they'll go, okay, well, that's kind of the province at this point. You know, we have so many homeless people, or we have addictions issues. What you really need to do is be clear in what you're asking for. Is, hey, we need a detox center in the north. So when you're going to these ministries, is go, hey, here's a project. Here's how it will positively impact not only that community, but our community as well. And we fully support this. And what you're asking for is the support of those projects or the additional funding. And also looking at the different ministries that you can navigate. So you mentioned that there's the health ministry. Well, there's also the health ministry, there's mental health and addictions, there's social development, poverty reduction. So tag teaming everybody. So coming at several ministries at one time, talking to several avenues and exploring all those options and seeing what could potentially work together to come up with these solutions that we so desperately need in Smithers.
A couple other things I wanted to touch on, Sam. Obviously, you mentioned that you ran once before, but why did you choose now to run for council?
I want to help. I am an advocate. Every job I've had, I advocate for people. It's something I believe in, and I want to create positive change. You know, I grew up in the Bulkley Valley. I grew up in Smithers, and I want to have that sense of belonging for everybody. I had a great childhood. I really did, and I was able to feel safe in my town. I was able to have opportunities in my town, and that's what I really want to create for my kids and everyone else. I don't want my kids to feel like they have to move away or they can't afford to live here. I want people to be able to thrive in this vibrant community that we have created and feel that sense of belonging. I personally love that I go down Main Street that and I see people that I know. It drives my kids nuts because I'm stopping on every single block. It's like, oh, hey, how are you? And having those that chat. But that's what I love about Smithers is we have those connections. We are a small town and we truly care about each other. So that's why I'm running. I want to sort of take that forward. And also with my background in community support services, I do believe that I can bring a bit of a different view to a lot of these social issues that we are facing.
Sam, you mentioned one thing there that I want to key in on. Obviously, you know, you talk about, you know, making the community welcoming and you know, a safe place. Do you feel that it's unsafe for some people at this time?
I've heard from several people that they feel unsafe. Personally, I do not feel unsafe when I walk downtown. I will walk all over downtown and feel absolutely fine. But it is something I'm hearing. And I think what that is people are now actually recognizing some of the issues that we are facing. You know, before people are like, well, where did all these homeless people come from? We've always had homelessness. We've always had issues with drug and alcohol addiction. It's just now we're actually seeing it. And I think that makes people uncomfortable, but it makes us have those conversations. And I come from a background where we need to support every member of our community and we need to make sure that everyone belongs. And I look forward to being able to help support everyone and make this Smithers the town that I grew up in again.
Just one other quick thing before we wrap up here, Sam. Obviously, you mentioned a lot of the social issues that we deal with. But, you know, what's your take and how would you approach? Obviously, you know, the town has a very tight revenue stream with just municipal taxes from residential and commercial. Not a whole lot of other pieces in terms of economic revenues coming into the community. So tight budgets, obviously, with municipalities. You know, how would you go by approaching that situation and the economy, the local economy here in Smithers? And what in that you know, idea, what assets in the community that the town of Smithers owns, for example, like the airport, how would you use that to leverage, you know, bringing in or attracting new business?
So that would be by being open to business. I believe that business wants to come to Smithers. We do have people that have been trying to come in, and I fully support that. And also utilizing funding that is available. I understand that budgets are tight, inflation is impacting everybody, and I am keenly aware that when we talk about taxes, we're not talking about money, we're talking about people's time. If people have to pay more money out to cover their property tax, that's less money spent on family, that's less money spent for perhaps kids' fees or groceries in this case. So I think that as a town, we can utilize more grant opportunities that are available. And when we're looking at infrastructure, is to really tie in with the funding that's available federally and provincially. And I think we could get some really good projects started. So the library, as an example, I know that's one of the things that they've been looking for funding for a very long time. I would like to see perhaps, let's see if we start doing the grant where it's a childcare facility and a library, right? So maybe starting to tweak some of these projects and ideas so that we can access the funding that's available federally and provincially.
Just the last thing for you, Sam. Obviously, this is a little bit of a job application, if you will, to the people of Smithers, to the voters of Smithers. Why are you the best person for this job?
I feel that I am the best person, or one of these. There's six council seats. So I believe that I work very well independently. I think logically, but I'm also collaborative. I listen to my heart and I speak my mind. And you can count on me for that 100% of the time. And I will ensure that I bring a people-centered approach to all of the decisions that are made. and I will do my best to help the residents of Smithers thrive and really have it where this is the place everyone wants to stay and can stay. And I encourage everyone to get out. There's the All Candidates Forum, and reach out to all the candidates and just get to know us a bit more. And if you have any questions, you know, send them along our way.
Okay, Sam, we will leave it there for now, but we thank you for your time. And of course, good luck on the campaign trail the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dan. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.